Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Here in New York City, Wall Street is not just a few blocks in Lower Manhattan. It's a concept that symbolizes the money and power that is concentrated in our city's financial industry. But this week, a sign that that center might be shifting to the West. Silicon Valley is stealing away one of Wall Street's most powerful people, and actually one of its most powerful women, Ruth Porat, the chief financial officer at Morgan Stanley. She's jumping ship to become the CFO of Google. Well, joining me to talk about what this job hire means are Megan McArdle from Bloomberg View and Ben White from Politico. And Ben, first set the scene, who is Ruth Porat and why is she making this move?
Well, the short answer to that is money, I think. Surprise, surprise for somebody on Wall Street. Ruth Porat is the chief financial officer of Morgan Stanley, as you mentioned, pretty much the highest ranking woman on Wall Street, widely looked to as the most powerful woman on Wall Street. It sort of says a bunch of things. It tells us, obviously, there are not a lot of high profile women in top jobs in Wall Street. And right now, it tells us that in terms of compensation, in terms of upside, in terms of the tech boom, the place to go is Silicon Valley, California. The Wall Street story, it's not over, but it's not where the biggest money is right now, particularly in the highly regulated banks.
Megan, Silicon Valley has a real diversity problem. With Porat's move, do you think that's a symbol that things are starting to change?
I think Ben's absolutely right that this is, you know, fundamentally a story about the shift on where the big, easy is not the right word, but where the outsized returns are in our country has shifted from Wall Street to the West. I mean, you see this, like, the MIT class is sending a third as many people to Wall Street and a lot more into the software industry now than it used to. But I also think, look, if you're a woman and you are going to think about working in an industry, seeing high-profile women who are near the top, like at Yahoo, like here, that's good news for you. You think, okay, well, there's a path for me to move up if I want to do that. I don't think that, though, that this solves the kind of fundamental things that people say about Silicon Valley, which is, look, it's mostly guys. That can be an intimidating place to work. And also that people, you know, they hire people who are like them. They hire people who fit into the culture. And if the culture is nine guys and one woman, having been in that position, working in tech in the 90s, you know, there are a lot of women who just say, I want to be somewhere where I don't feel so alone.
Well, okay, so if some of the best and brightest, as it were, at MIT or Harvard or a lot of other schools are opting for Silicon Valley versus Wall Street, is that good or bad?
Well, I mean, it's good in the sense that Wall Street, I think, had the fact that Wall Street was making so much money, that it was possible to make so much money in so little time, indicated that there was something a little bit out of whack in our economy. If that was where the greatest returns were, was moving money around on the map, it's good to see people going out and actually going and making things. But I also think it could be a sign that when you look at what's happening to companies in Silicon Valley, increasingly, you've got all of these big companies that are paying a lot of money that aren't generating revenue or aren't generating enough revenue to cover their costs, and it's not clear when they are. So you sort of ask yourselves, you know, have we actually moved productive activity, or did we just move the bubble west?
Right. We kind of did. We did a tech bubble in the 90s. Then we did a housing bubble and a finance bubble. And now we're moving it back there. So, yeah, let's not like say these people are all going to create these great companies that are all going to be giant revenue producers and not going to produce really overpriced stocks that wind up losing people a bunch of money. So, you know, it's not all to the good, I don't think. But I would rather see really smart people coming out of MIT and Harvard and Yale and everywhere else going to try to make some kind of products and services that really work for people rather than a new complicated derivative based on a subprime mortgage that's going to explode and tank the economy. So I think it's probably slightly better than the alternative, but this is not altruism we're seeing here.
Well, talking about these shifts in power, let's talk about another place that is a little bit power mad. That's where you are, Megan, Washington, D.C. This week, Senator Cruz became the first person to announce he's running for president. So, Megan, is this, do you think, a sign that the Republicans are going to start getting pulled more to the right and maybe the Democrats more to the left when it comes to talking about economics?
I think that what we are definitely seeing in Washington is a populist mood in the wind, and that is true in both parties. There is a big draft Warren movement among the Democrats. You know, there's a kind of anybody but Hillary feeling around here right now, frankly, is that people are wondering, why did we anoint her so fast? Isn't she a little bit too old school, the kind of boring middle-of-the-road Clintonomics? I want something new and big change. That said, you know, I'm not sure that that's actually going to end up showing up in the polling places. And, you know, in 2012, when there were so many kind of crazy candidates running on the Republican side, Joe Scarborough said, you know, the Republican Party doesn't nominate crazy. They, like, go out for a drink with it. They flirt with it. They go home with the establishment candidate.
Right, and they wind up nominating Jeb Bush.
And I think that that's going to end up being true on the left as well.
So, Ben, are you starting to see the contours of what the economic policies of the leading candidates will be?
A little bit. I mean, it's early days for them to be putting out any sort of specifics. But in terms of a guy like Cruz coming into the race, it does, to a degree, put pressure on a guy like Jeb Bush, who is very much establishment, very much Wall Street, raising money at $100,000 a pop at some of these events at Wall Street bankers' homes. And what he needs to do, and I've written about this in Politico, is come up with an economic plan that doesn't look like it's filled with handouts to Wall Street, not just across-the-board tax cuts, but maybe some sort of tax reform that targets some loopholes that the banks enjoy, that maybe other industries enjoy, while also lowering rates for the middle class, lowering the overall corporate tax rate. But a guy like Cruz, he's probably not going to get the nomination. And in a way, he helps Bush in that he splits up all the far right-wing vote. But he and Rand Paul and some others who are going to compete for the populist vote will say, hey, look, this guy's way too close to the banks. He's much like Hillary Clinton in his ties to Wall Street. So it creates a complicated problem for Bush.
Well, in the few minutes that we have left, what are some of the other stories that you're paying attention to in the weeks ahead? Megan?
There's a lot of stories going on. The one I'm looking at most closely is New York Times, BuzzFeed, Smithsonian, other outlets are looking at actually moving their content directly to Facebook. Not all of it. It's not like the New York Times is going to shut their website down. But they are actually thinking about letting it be hosted natively on Facebook. That's a big deal.
Ben, what are you watching?
Well, this is a lot more boring than Megan's, but it's economic data, and it's not the jobs number next week so much. But I'm worried that the Fed is heading for the exits and looking to raise interest rates at some point, either June or September. But the data keeps coming in really kind of crummy. We'll get a look at how consumers are feeling on Tuesday, as well as home prices that seem to have kind of leveled off in their growth. So is that going to tell the Fed, look, we got to hold tight a little bit longer, this economy's not really moving forward, or do they just stay the course? So I'm a little worried about the data, and we'll get a good look at it Tuesday of next week.
Well, Ben White with Politico and Megan McCardo with Bloomberg View, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Money Talking. You can find us online or as a podcast on iTunes or wherever you subscribe to your favorite podcasts. I'm Charlie Herman, and you're listening to WNYC.